The Fall 2008 CCB Convention by Rob Turner, Roger Peterson, and Bonnie Rennie. Part 1 from Rob. My journey to the convention got off to a great start and set the tone for the rest of the trip. Either airport security is becoming more efficient or I'm learning the ropes. Either way, I sped right through. Then, while waiting at the gate, I was pleasantly surprised to meet Elmer Chapson. We enjoyed discussing CCB and CSB history on our way to the Four Point Sheraton Hotel. Elmer attended his first convention in 1951, the year I was born. Page 10. One of the joys of attending CCB conventions is walking into the hotel lobby to hear the familiar voices of other CCB conventioneers. One problem with arriving Thursday morning is that rooms aren't available for check-in until mid to late afternoon. I attended the afternoon joint session of the Technology Committee and the Rehabilitation Services Committee. It began with an in-depth presentation by Mike May, president of Sendero Group, concerning portable GPS navigation systems for the blind. Now you can even get GPS navigation on a cell phone. Sendero Group, in conjunction with Code Factory, offer Mobile Geo, which runs on Windows smartphones or Pocket PDA devices. The next presentation was a panel on rehabilitation services. Ed Crespin and Tricia Leitz discussed their experiences as rehabilitation counselors. Ed emphasized the importance of having specific goals and being well prepared before meeting with the counselor. Tricia discussed the question of who should provide the access technology, rehab, or the employer. Ideally, everything should be in place on the client's first workday. The third presentation was from the Assistive Technology Center based in Sacramento, which is a distributor of an innovative new product called Mobile Eyes. It's an optical character recognition device, an organizer, media player, notes recorder, magnification device, barcode reader, and more. Next, I attended the Braille Revival League of California board meeting to perform my secretarial duties. I did not attend the CCB board meeting due to a prior personal commitment. My first order of business on Friday morning was to chair the credentials committee. Then it was on to the Braille Revival League membership meeting. There was lots of enthusiasm about the Braille Challenge contest sponsored by the Braille Institute. After the business meeting adjourned, Debbie Barry, Joni Patch, Dan Kaiser, and Frank Welty each explained how they use Braille to perform their various job tasks. Their presentation was a testimonial to the flexibility of Braille. Page 11. The speaker at the California Library Users of America Luncheon was Brian Albritton from the Braille Institute Library. He discussed services available to patrons with Internet access. The digital talking book download service continues to be very popular. Braille Institute Library patrons can now order their books online. I didn't find that option on the Braille and Talking Book Library website. Another source of audiobooks is a library called Unabridged. You can obtain an application for it online from the Braille and Talking Book Library. Their website is library.ca.gov/services/btbl.html. The first speaker at the Friday afternoon general session was John Bennison, manager, Equal Employment Opportunity Consulting Group, Office of Civil Rights, Federal Aviation Administration. His speech concerned the Air Carrier Access Act and FAA initiatives to create employment opportunities for people with disabilities. Mr. Bennison is legally blind and his job requires lots of travel. It was obvious from the way Mr. Bennison spoke that he is passionate about his work. Becoming a model employer of persons with targeted disabilities is a goal of the FAA. Legal blindness is a targeted disability. New regulations under the Air Carrier Access Act are coming out next year, which will improve its provisions, including prohibition of charging a higher price for blind people ordering tickets by phone versus online. The next topic was a progress report from the California Audio Describers Alliance, presented by Terry Grossman, Audio Describer, Audio Description Los Angeles. Terry spoke about efforts to standardize methods for audio description and to spread its availability throughout California and beyond. The Friday afternoon session also featured Avoiding the Impact, Safety Concerns with the Audibility of Hybrid Cars. Dr. Lawrence D. Rosenblum, Professor, University of California, Riverside. Recent updates and resources from the Disability Rights Legal Center at disabilityrightslegalcenter.org or 866-999-3752. Paula Perlman, Executive Director, Disability Rights Legal Center, Loyola Law School, and the announcement of the introduction of a new internet reading service for persons who are blind, visually impaired, or have other print disabilities. AIRSLA.org at 818-705-6434. Max Flayinger, Executive Director, Audio Internet Reading Service of Los Angeles. Page 12, the Friday evening general session was chaired by Gabe Griffith. The first topic was Accessible Information and Communication Technology, ICT, and the Paradigm Shift, United Nations Treaty or Convention on Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Cynthia D. Waddell, Executive Director, Law, Policy, and Technology Consultant, and Subject Matter Expert, International Center for Disability Resources on the Internet. She is traveling the world working on the information technology aspects of implementing the UN Convention. Next up was the ACB report given by its president, Mitch Pomerantz. Mitch described his presidential duties as falling into three categories: overseeing the work of the executive director and office staff, monitoring internal organizational matters, and facilitating working relationships with outside entities. He said that he plans to retire from his day job as ADA coordinator for the City of Los Angeles after 34 years of working for the city to give his full attention to the presidency of ACB. Regarding accessible currency, the favorable judgment was a great victory that can be credited to the efforts of ACB, and Mitch assured us that in time we will have accessible currency. In addition, ACB has every expectation of winning its lawsuit against the Social Security Administration to require that SSA information be provided in accessible formats. The legislation concerning telecommunications and pedestrian safety has failed thus far, but there is still hope. The Digital Talking Book program did not receive its desired level of funding in spite of unanimous support throughout the blind community. Page 13. The Minneapolis office moved to the Twin City suburbs in August, and the D.C. office will move to Arlington, Virginia around the first of the year. Mitch has made several changes to key ACB committees to facilitate their effectiveness. He schedules 90-minute time slots every 6 weeks or so to encourage members to contact him with their concerns, ideas, and suggestions. He is working hard to overcome the dominant position that the NFB has maintained for so long. The rest of the evening was taken up by Jeff Toms' CCB presidential report, Dan Kaiser's legislative report, and a little matter of elections. The membership committee breakfast was held Saturday morning. I thought the speaker had some good ideas, but her presentation would have been more relevant for a larger, better-funded organization. The Saturday afternoon general session was chaired by Chris Gray. The first topic was financial planning and asset building opportunities for people with disabilities. Thomas Foley, JD Program Manager, Access to Assets, World Institute on Disability. His email address is tom@wid.org. The whole point around access to assets is changing the economic expectation for people with disabilities. There are ways around the economic disincentives built into SSI, SSDI, and other benefits programs. The poverty rate for people with disabilities is double that of any other minority. Nationwide, only 30 to 35% of the disabled have bank accounts, and only 12% have savings accounts. The first step is to establish a relationship with a financial institution. The IRS has an organization called Strategic Partners in Education and Communication, the acronym SPEC, S-P-E-C. It's an important educational and employment resource for the disabled. For example, the earned income tax credit for 2008 is $420. Add the 2008 $600 stimulus check, and someone could establish a checking account with that money to save the check cashing fees they formerly paid. Page 14. An Individual Development Account, IDA, is basically a matched savings account. Benefit recipients should choose one that is federally funded under the American Financial Independence Act, AFIA, to shelter earned income. Account holders must specify a savings goal, such as buying a home, planning for college, or establishing a small business. In Oakland and San Francisco, there are first-time home buyer programs offering a $50,000 incentive. Section 8 vouchers can be used to pay a mortgage. A 4% fixed-rate 30-year mortgage is available to disabled Californians who are purchasing their first home. The next topic was the hope of stem cell progress for heart, vision, and other diseases. Christian Wild, author, researcher. His newest book, Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair, presents cases showing how stem cells can regenerate both muscles and nerves. Research is 15 to 20 years ahead of standard medical practice. The book has been enthusiastically endorsed by leading medical professionals. Brandy Morgan from the Bakersfield chapter was the master of ceremonies at the banquet and became president of the Blind Students of California. I believe that she will attract students and turn that affiliate around. I'm glad the banquet didn't drag on for so long this year. Jesse Lawrence was certainly an inspirational speaker. Her talk reminded me of how much harm overly protective parents do without knowing it. I've been attending CCB conventions since the early 1970s. This convention was one of the best. The topics were informative and the speakers were excellent. Even though many are facing difficult times economically, spirits were high and a friendly mood prevailed. Part 2 from Roger. Bernice and I arrived at the Four Points on Wednesday and attended the Publications Committee's Writer's Seminar on Thursday morning. Though sparsely attended, the seminar was well presented by Kathy Schmidt Whitaker and Bonnie Rennie. It was designed to convince members of CCB that each one of us has a story and can write it for the blind Californian. Page 15. I also went to the Technology and Rehabilitation Services Committee seminar on Thursday afternoon and the BRLC board meeting that evening. Then came the CCB board meeting, which is set up in a big room with the board sitting at the front with room for a big audience. This meeting was mostly administrative and budgetary with committee reports and so on. One highlight was a decision to go to Fresno for our fall 2009 convention to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the founding of CCB, which took place in Fresno. A new affiliate was also chartered, the Yosemite Gateway Chapter of Merced. An interesting event, which took place Friday morning while Rob and I were at the BRLC meeting, was the joint session of the Committee on Access and Transportation, or CAT, and the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, CCCLV. The highlight of this meeting was a demonstration and discussion of the hazards of quiet vehicles. Guide Dogs of the Desert kindly provided a hybrid car and drove it past many blind people who had not experienced the lack of noise produced by such cars. Then they discussed how they used it in guide dog training. At the Friday evening session, the credentials report was given, which technically seats the delegates to vote at the convention. The thing that struck me listening to the credentials report was how many chapters weren't there. It seems as if there are a lot of chapters that are not functioning very well and could use more loving concern from CCB. The election also occurred Friday evening quite late. The president, first vice president, and treasurer were reelected to their positions, as were all board members who were eligible for reelection. Vincent Calderon was elected to the position vacated by Barbara Rhodes. A few more words about the banquet Saturday evening are warranted. I presented a CCB Special Recognition Award to Senator Alan Lowenthal for sponsoring our Quiet Car legislation, which passed both houses in the legislature, only to be vetoed by the governor. Jessie Lauren spoke about her participation in the Paralympics in Beijing, where she was a member of the gold medal goal ball team. I held her gold medal after the banquet. Page 16. Sunday morning's business session featured a relatively small number of resolutions, and we actually got out early, allowing us to have a somewhat leisurely meal before leaving for the airport. Part 3. Bonnie's Bits. The Welcome to Los Angeles party, the traditional Thursday afternoon social time, was hosted by the Orange County chapter. The setting was conducive to relaxed conversation and for getting acquainted. The room was carpeted and spacious, with several round tables, background music, and refreshments. At the Association for Multicultural Concerns luncheon, I was intrigued to hear from an employee from the California Department of Rehabilitation about one of its diversity initiatives. She described a current program designed to deliver rehab services more effectively to a specific group, Native Americans living in Los Angeles. She said that there were positive results when staff first took the time to understand the meaning of certain behaviors in a culture, such as the direct and rapid asking of personal questions in order to fill out an intake form. By learning about the culture and modifying the program, members of that culture were served better. As is usually the case with such discussions, I wish that there had been more time to explore the implications. The CCB Women's Breakfast was clearly an idea whose time has come. A poll of attendees would probably reveal that it was the highlight of their convention experience. The fellowship was many wonderful things, positive, touching, exhilarating. Both Andrea Pitzenbarger and Christy Crispin are to be commended for their leadership in organizing this women's event and for their vision to address the desire for fellowship and encouragement for the women of CCB. The warmth and energy we felt as we left the meeting spoke our strong hope to do this again.